This is my first time at the Festival of Education, and I must say, it is greater than anything I expected. It's such a lovely atmosphere. It's so beautifully organized. It's about time teachers had somewhere to come and just have a great time, and they're clearly having a great time. There's so much to look at.
Hi everyone, I'm Kath Vansell, Deputy Festival Director for the Festival of Education. This year it's our 15th ever festival, and we're going to be touring around the festival, talking to speakers and people about what makes the festival so brilliant, getting a little bit of the highlights about what they're talking about and what they've really enjoyed at festival.
My name is Book Yusuf. I am a senior leader at Edith Play School and Niji Consultant. And today, Daniel, Emerson and I are going to be talking about the best practices of AI, supporting young people with diverse learning needs, and looking at the best practices.
That's it.
Short and sweet.
Exactly.
What I like, well, location, the fact that it's a proper grown-up professional development venue. And you can actually interact with so many different types of educators as well, the wide variety as well. I love it. It's just, it feels really grown up. It's a nice way to end the academic year. But
right, so I'm here at the Festival of Education with Shane Mann, Festival Director. So I wanted to ask you a few things about the festival, Shane, for our listeners who might not have been before. Can you tell us like how long you've been working on festival, when it started, just a bit about the history?
Yeah, sure. So the Festival of Education was founded by Wellington College back in 2010, and it was the brainchild of the former master of Wellington College, Sir Anthony Seldon. And he wanted to open, you know, these beautiful grounds up to the education community so he could bring together the education community for, you know, a couple of days of fun professional development. So by fun, I mean that, you know, it's professional development for educators, but in a fun festival vibe. I first became aware of the festival, being invited as a speaker, and also for our organisation, EducationScape, our newspaper, Schools Week and FE Week, to become the media partner for the Festival of Education. And then back in 2015, we were invited to take on the festival as the operator of the festival and take on the licence. So this is my 9th festival sort of as director of the Festival of Education.
One thing I'm really excited about is that we've just announced a European Festival of Education in Barcelona, of all places, quite close to the beach, which is very exciting for me, especially as I used to live in Spain, and so I'm really looking forward to it. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that festival, Shane?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to have a European edition of the Festival of Education. It's something I've always wanted the Festival of Education to do, is to enter into Europe. So we're working with a great school. It's part of the Cognita family of schools. And Cognita were a partner of the Festival of Education for several years and huge supporters and champions of the festival. So I know they're super excited that one of their schools has been selected as our kind of core host partner over in Spain. So that'll be taking place in June of next year. We've only just announced that it will be taking place in Spain next year. So the date will be unveiled very, very shortly, and tickets will go on sale soon. But what's been really surprised me is how many people from Spain are here at the festival. I wasn't expecting that. So I've met several people already, you know, asking for more information, that they want to partner, that they want to speak. So it's really exciting. There's such a buzz, you know, a few hours after the announcement.
Totally agree.
Your name and what you've spoken about at festival today.
Sure, I'm Doug Lamov, and I spoke first about the overlap between cognitive science and teaching. It was with Bradley Bush. So he talked about some key principles in cognitive science. Hicks' Law, one of our favorite principles. And then I showed some videos and showed how I thought they applied in a real-world classroom. And then the second session was on the science of reading. So what does the research tell us about what reading should look like, particularly in the years after phonics acquisition, the early primary years? So it was delightful. Great audience, really interesting participation too. So could not have enjoyed it more. We joke about this on my team back in the US, how much we love the teaching profession in England. It's so, the level of professionalism is so high. People are so committed to teaching well, but also to their subject knowledge and their disciplines, and they're up on the cognitive science. And so when you start talking about working memory and how it affects student learning, people are with you and they know that it's important. I know that sometimes when I talk to people in England about the English education system, there's some anxiety. They probably see all the flaws. To me, it's beautiful. It's this beautiful place where, first of all, the profession is just full of excited, committed, delightful people, and they really have the knowledge to begin making major transitions of what happens in the classroom. And I just think the most productive way. So everyone on my team is jealous because they all love coming here.
Excellent.
And even when the weather is not as delightful as it is today, which it, you know, cleverly planned on your part to have such delightful weather.
we try.
Come for sure. Even beyond the delight, the incredible food offerings and the chance. I mean, one of the best things about the festival, I'm sure the sessions are great. I hope my session was okay. But one of the best things is you're just walking down the avenue and you're running into people who you know and you've seen, you've read their stuff. And it just makes you feel connected, like you're a part of something when you're a teacher. And I think that's really important. So I think it's important to connect and get together and be a community. So come for sure here.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's cool. So I'm Les Hopper. I'm a product director at Pearson, looking at our school's business for the UK and international. I'm here today to be part of a panel that's looking at digital and AI in education. We're looking at kind of where we are now, what's next, and where we think things are going to go in the future. EdFest is a great opportunity to meet people from a whole different range of aspects of education, and a nice chance to get together in the sunshine and talk about some important issues and make some connections and hopefully build some bridges to next year's projects.
Hi, I'm Gina Ciceroni, CEO of the Fair Education Alliance, a coalition aiming to tackle educational inequity. And what I love about the festival is that I'm here with one of our young people from our youth steering group, Thomas. And so the inclusion of diverse voices in an intergenerational way to ensure that it's not just talking about what's wrong, but also what can be done with students at the forefront of that change. I'm going to be talking later today on a keynote panel with some big names, Anthony Seldon, John Coles, and Nick Gibb. So it'll be fantastic to bring a perspective that's not just about the role of schools in improving education, but all the different organizations, civil society, businesses, philanthropy, that are a core part of making change.
It's been such a fun festival, and we've talked about so many different things, and it's great to hear from people who've attended today. So let's hear from a few more of them now.
Yes.
Okay, I'm Nick Waters, and I'm here today. I'm talking about the work that Tim Brighouse did in the context of today's education system. I'm on a panel with Ed Dorrell as chair, so it's going to be really exciting.
I'm Ed Dorrell. I'm a partner of Public First, and we are curating and supporting a strand of debates unimaginatively called the Public First Debates. At Wellington. We're really excited to be involved, really pleased to be involved, and it's wonderful to be here.
I was here when it started, when Anthony Seldon began the whole process. Yeah, it was a much smaller event. It was on a Saturday and a Sunday, which would never happen now. And it was mainly in the buildings, but we had a lovely reception in the Master's Lodge.
Well, I mean, it's just a lovely place to be, and I always think it is striking how much enthusiasm there is at the end of an exhausting academic year for actual rigorous educational debate. Like, it's really amazing, to be honest, and it's fun.
Meeting lots of people who've got a belief in the education system as a route to making life better for children.
Welcome to the festival. Would you like to tell us who you are and what you're going to talk about today?
So I'm Sally Ann Schofield.
I'm Laura Billington.
And we're going to be presenting on the mastery approaches in maths that are being adapted to English. So that's our focus.
So we had a conversation, and I'm a maths teacher, Sally's an English teacher, and we realised that maths mastery is so mainstream in maths teaching now that I just assumed it was everywhere. And when speaking to Sally, we realised it wasn't in English. So we spoke about why, and then we looked at maths mastery and we thought, could it be applied to English? Because it's been so successful in maths. And we realised we wanted to look into it a bit further. So we applied for some funding from the EEF and we got granted a project. So we did some research into applying maths mastery into English.
And we took one specific focus. So we looked at the CPA model, which is concrete, pictorial, abstract. and it didn't quite work in that format for English, so we've had to reverse it. So it's a novel adaptation. So we start with the abstract, then we go to the pictorial, and then we go to the concrete. And this is really helping us to teach Tier 2 interdisciplinary vocabulary. So that's all of the academic vocabulary that students need that they don't necessarily have access to because it's not how they speak. So that it was really limiting them. And we work with GCSE research students. So for our students, they're trapped in a cycle of research until they're 19 years old. And every single college that they go to, it's exam prep, exam prep, exam prep, and they're getting the same outcome, which is not being successful.
And what we're hoping for and what mastery really is isn't just about getting the better assessment results. It's about them starting to enjoy English, understand it, and then use those skills that they develop with us into like getting more qualified jobs and then just changing their attitude towards English and education so that in the future when they have their children and their aspirations are different and they perhaps, you know, they pass on the importance of education and it just breaks that cycle a bit more.
Yeah, it's your first time. I've been here 4 times and it's a really great event. So it really gives you an opportunity to digest a lot of information but in quite a comfortable environment because obviously you've got all the access to all the water and things like that. So it's always beautiful, it's always hot, and then you get access to lots and lots of new and innovative ideas.
So here's some more from some of our speakers.
So hello, I'm Emma Shepherd. I'm the founder of the Maternity Teacher Paternity Teacher Project, which is an organisation that supports colleagues when they become parents, during their parental leave and when they return to work up to 5 years after they've returned. And that's because we see a significant drop-off rate, particularly among mothers, in that time period. We personally believe, as an organisation, we believe that teaching can be a really, really family-friendly career choice. But unfortunately, at the moment, the stats don't reflect that. So the talk I'm delivering tomorrow, Friday, at the Education Fest, is all about our Missing Mothers Report, which we co-authored with the New Britain Project, which is a think tank run by a great lady called Anna McShane. And that outlined the extent of the problem of women aged 30 to 39 leaving the profession and exactly how much motherhood has to do with that, which is a lot. So the report talks about the reasons that they leave and also the practical strategies that we can do to retain them. Because that's sort of lots of experience sort of intensified in that age bracket that we can't really afford to lose as a workforce.
So, what is the best thing about the Festival of Education?
Just how many people there are that you know, and it's such a great collecting point of so many wonderful people that I've met throughout the years as an educator. And I actually had a lady who was one of my ITT assessors as an English teacher back when I did Teach First in 2010, and she recognised me and I didn't recognise her, and she explained who she was, and you know how wonderful to be in a place where so many people are getting together that have known each other. It gives you that real sense of community.
And what are you going to talk about a bit? So Nikki Morgan, former education secretary, and I'm on my way to talk about online safety for young people because I was one of the main contributors to the debate about the new Online Safety Act when it was in the House of Lords. Nikki, you're talking today about online safety for young people, and you've been a huge advocate of pushing for the right kind of change in the Lords. On this, why is it so important?
Well, look, I think many of our young people live huge parts of their lives online now. And I think that the platforms and search engines, you know, until this Online Safety Act came into force, really had very little responsibility or any incentive to take action on the harmful content that young people encounter. I'm also very concerned about, you know, the violence against women and girls online, which can translate to the offline world as well as things like, obviously, the whole sort of toxicity of the Andrew Tate world.
Do you think the new Online Safety Act goes far enough to protect young people?
Well, I think it's a big step in the right direction, and I think that it is groundbreaking legislation for the UK and actually for the world. We've got a lot of people, I think, watching UK implementation. There are definite duties, particularly for children, so the under 18s, and it will require platforms to think much more carefully, to risk assess, to remove harmful content. But look, I think this is only going to be a starting point, and I think already we know that we're going to have to sort of keep going back and legislate. Technology is changing, and the way we interact with the internet and online world is changing.
Yeah. So what are you going to talk about today?
Well, today, first of all, my name's Deb Miller. I'm Exec Director of Digital Transformation at Hull College.
And I'm here with Deb, and I'm Liz Ridley, and I'm Exec Director for Adults and Employability at Hull College. And we're jointly speaking about the power of Microsoft technology, specifically PowerPoint Live, Translate, and Immersive Reader.
Yeah, this allows learners and staff who have got English as a second language to be able to understand the lesson. So normally when you're in a lesson, if you're teaching, say, English, and you've got a room full of students all with different languages on that first day, can you imagine what it's like? You know, they don't speak English. So this tool allows the teacher to set the intention of the lesson and kind of settle them and make them safe.
So the way it works is PowerPoint Live puts subtitles underneath anything any slide you're presenting, and the technology allows it to use AI to actually translate into a range of different languages. So if we're speaking now, I could have a learner that maybe is Japanese, another one who speaks Arabic, and it would be translating live for them. And what it means really powerfully for us is that we can teach quite high-level concepts at very early days. So if we're talking about refugee who maybe has only been in the country for a few weeks, you know, a 16-year-old, we can talk about safeguarding, we can talk about prevent, we can talk about how to keep yourself safe, and they can understand. Whereas obviously if we had to wait until they'd learned the level of language necessary to embrace those subjects, we could be mating 6 months plus.
And we're going to demo that this afternoon.
My name is Anudi Changa, my pronouns are she, they. The talk that I am part of is with Just Like Us, a young people's charity that is focusing on empowering and representing young queer people. So I am very on the talk as being moderated by, the panel is being moderated by Susie Ruffle. So myself and two other panellists, Iona and Lucas, are discussing how we can represent and show up and make schools safe for young people. And for me, that's from a point of view of a queer person myself, and having gone through school in a very uninclusive space, but also as an educator myself, and how we can make spaces more inclusive, not just for queer people, but for all people. And I think it benefits everyone, the changes that we can make. It's been really inspiring to see so many different organisations I haven't heard of before. I think I've learned that there are so many organisations working towards different goals, but that have that common thread of making the world more inclusive and better for young people and for adults. So I think that's been really nice to feel like I'm in a space that is following some similar goals to myself. And as a freelance facilitator, I don't really get to come to things like this very often, and I don't have a team or a base or a commute. So it's really nice. Ooh, it's actually a festival. I was very sceptical when I heard the word festival. I thought it's a bunch of educators. Is it going to feel like a festival? And it is, and I think it's really cool, and I think it's a beautiful day, which helps.
I'm Anna Kane. I'm the principal of the Boxing Academy, which is an AP free school in Hackney.
I'm Jermaine Williams. I'm the vice principal of the same academy.
We have just presented a session around boxing behavior and belonging. Pretty much just an explanation of what we do and how we do it, but obviously the belonging part is the bit that we wanted people to really get. And of course, all the questions were about boxing. I got a lot of questions about, things like how do you cope with children who don't want to do boxing? All those sort of really obvious questions, but some very interesting ones as well about what sort of adaptations do you make for children with increasingly complex SEND? Because that is in AP, that is absolutely what all schools are seeing. And I was really grateful to be, because we're not there to talk about SEND, but it is absolutely part of what we do. And what I was able to do was explain how we, adaptive teaching and principles, you know, reducing the cognitive load for our pupils is key. And obviously the boxing plays a part in that. And there was a lot of questions about relationships and children who need something more than just sitting in the classroom.
And I got asked questions about push-ups. because, of course, if you're late to school or you do anything that's not, you know, in line with our rules, you get a sanction, which is push-ups, gym cleaning.
So are you planning to come back next year?
We would love to come back next year, but we would quite like to come back and put a boxing ring up and bring some of our students.
Yeah. It will be a boxing demonstration showcasing what we do. Maybe some Q&A with the kids, how they feel about it during school time, lessons, you know, what gets them motivated in the morning. How do they feel about the whole relationship between the coaches, the teachers, and, you know, all staff? So yeah, it'll be quite interesting, I believe. Look forward to doing it.
We'd love to have you. That's fantastic.
Hi, I'm Sam Gibbs. I'm the Director of Education at Greater Manchester Education Trust, and I'm also the Deputy Chair of the Trust-wide CPD Leaders Forum, which is a national network for people who lead professional development at scale in multi-academy trusts. I'm here today to deliver four sessions around teacher development, but I'm mainly here to have really good conversations with other people in the sector. I think the really good thing about this event is the diversity of people that it attracts, and what I really enjoy is kind of those ad hoc spontaneous conversations that you start with people, and I always meet somebody new that I haven't met before and then connect with them later. So that's what I've been really enjoying, as well as the sunshine and the free ice cream.
So Sam, you run a network for CPD in multi-academy trusts, mm-hmm. for CPD leads. Can you just tell us what you'd like to see more of at Festival?
Yeah, so our network is primarily for people that work in multi-academy trusts and lead PD at scale, because we think there are some particular issues, principles, kind of challenges around leading PD at scale that's different to doing it if you're in a single school. And I guess we identified a gap for professional development for people that lead professional development. So we coordinated the network, and it's been really successful, we think, with over 200 representatives from MATs across the country in that group. I think one thing, our sort of underlying beliefs, I suppose, or values, are that there's so much expertise in the sector that needs to be kind of harnessed and mobilised, and we think the CPD space is very noisy and also quite commercial, and there's a lot of things thrown in leaders' faces that they to sort of make decisions about. So I guess what we want to sort of champion is the people that are doing the work have, you know, pretty much most of the solutions themselves, and actually if we bring those people together in sort of purposeful collaboration, we can develop some of the answers to those challenges and problems. I suppose what I would like to see Festival, I think we've had quite a long time of people who work in schools kind of being told what to do, and what I'd like to see more is people that make the decisions about education in our country tapping into the knowledge and expertise in the sector, and those people having a voice. I feel hopeful that change is coming. So just this week, our network hosted a roundtable at the Department for Education, where we were asked to share our views about the MPQs and the reform of them, which was really, really positive. And it really felt like they were listening to the things that people in the network were saying and really kind of taking them on board. So yeah, I think a platforming, showcasing, highlighting, celebrating the work of teachers and leaders in schools and trusts here is really important for that diversity and that balance. So many things. Sitting in the sunshine right now, probably that, because we haven't had that for a while. I think, as I kind of alluded to before, it's connecting with people. It always feels to me a very joyous, positive, hopeful event. I think one thing I've really noticed is it's a really safe space for different thinking. It's not an echo chamber. It's not the same people saying the same thing. You can always find a session that speaks to you and what you're thinking about at the moment. And just that connecting with people after a session or kind of in between bits, and then following those connections up. And I think the more we do that as a sector, and the more we share great ideas and great practice, the better for everybody and the better for children. So the conversations, the hope, the joy, the sunshine, all those things.
Well, that's a wrap for today, and it's been an amazing 2 days of Festival. We really hope this podcast gives you a flavour of the festival and encourages you to come next year if you couldn't make it this year. So if you want to know more, Google the Festival of Education. Our application should be open in September for next year. So if you want to speak next year, get them in. If you want to attend next year, keep an eye on our LinkedIn page and follow us for more information.